Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm your host, Albert Morales, and this morning's conversation is with Dr. Robert Kolodner, National Coordinator for Health Information Technology within the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. Also joining us in our conversation from IBM is Tom Romeo. Rob, the Institute of Medicine has identified six characteristics of quality care, and the goal of transforming healthcare is to help providers ensure that the care they deliver meets the six IOM characteristics. Could you tell us a bit more about these characteristics?
Sure. The six characteristics that IOM described for quality care are the following. First, that it's safe, that we're not doing something that causes harm. It needs to be timely. We don't want to have delays in terms of the delivery of that care or what is needed. And so timely is the second. Third is that it's equitable, that all populations, all individuals share the benefits of that quality of care and that there aren't some populations that are underserved or disadvantaged. It needs to be effective, that we're not doing things that, while they may not do harm, also may not do any good. We want to make sure that the interventions we have, whether that's procedures, medicines, or other activities, work. We want it to be patient-centric. So the person should have a choice about this, should have a say in what's going on, and it's about them and not about the institution. And finally, that it should be efficient, that we don't waste resources, we don't waste time in the care delivery process. So those are the six characteristics that IOM identified.
Rob, it's widely known that poor quality care translates into higher costs. According to a recent Commonwealth Fund report, chronic disease is a growing problem in the United States, with more than 157 million Americans having at least one chronic condition by the year 2020. And looking ahead, how does the adoption of health IT enable the move from simply managing disease, going beyond even prevention, to ultimately a predictive care model, being able to intervene sooner rather than later?
The healthcare system that we have today is very much like the healthcare system we had 50 or even 100 years ago. We react to events. We intervene way down the line when chronic illness has developed, and we manage the consequences of those chronic illnesses. Now, more recently, we've gotten more effective treatments, we begin to try and prevent some of the consequences of those chronic illnesses. So if you have diabetes, that by keeping their blood sugar under control, you can decrease their chance of having heart disease or blindness or have to have an amputation. And so we need to start, as we're doing, by doing a better job of controlling blood pressure, of controlling diabetes, of controlling those conditions that we know can lead to far more dire consequences. But what we really want to do is to move it farther back. Now, where does health IT fit into this? Doctors, no matter how diligent they might be, find that it's difficult to remember to do all of the activities, all the prevention, all of the checks, every day for every patient. And as much as they might like to do that, one of the early pioneers in health IT talked about the imperfectibility of man, and that unfortunately includes providers. So the computer provides a tool to help make sure that the healthcare provider does the right thing when they need to do it every time, or can document why they didn't, or can set a reminder, don't have time now, do it, remind me the next time. But what we really want to do is to move even farther down the line, earlier. It's not only less expensive, but more importantly, it's a better quality of life for individuals. And especially as we get the revolution that's going on in terms of understanding genomics and the underlying basis for many of these diseases, we will be able to predict and intervene before the hypertension develops, before the diabetes develops, before the coronary artery disease occurs, and be able to give individuals a better life. And by the way, it happens to cost less for society. And for those who do still develop some of the conditions, that we will make sure we will give them the best possible care, taking care of the management of that condition and doing any necessary prevention on into the future.
So on this predictive discussion, I'd like to transition now to the future. What are some of the major opportunities and challenges that your office may encounter in the future, and how do you envision your office will evolve over the next, say, 3 to 5 years?
Well, one of the things that we had been charged with doing that we're in the process of working through the system is to release a strategic plan. People have said, what are all these things you're doing? And we have a lot of activities going on. And so we're putting that plan together, not only to communicate all the things we're doing and how they fit together, but also to be able to document how the activities of our office are those of a coordinator, and they are synergized and benefit from a myriad of activities that are undertaken by other federal agencies that are working within their own space, and that also are supplemented by the tremendous innovation and activities going on in the private sector. Now, the challenge of our office is that it's unlike any other that I know of, because it's trying to bring about a change in a very rapid time frame, which means that, unlike some activities, we don't just set up an office, establish it, and have it stay the same structure for 5, 10, 15 years. Each year, the environment is different. There was nothing going on in 2004. In the last 3 years, we've been able to make more progress in areas such as standards than we had made in the last 10 or 20 years. That means that the environment is different. So what we need to do next is different. We didn't have an advisory body to set the priorities. We established that in 2005. That's going to be transitioning to the private sector as a public-private entity this year. Our role will be different. It doesn't mean we go away. It just means that we have to essentially adjust each year and say, what's needed next? Okay, we've moved down the road so far. What do we do next? And so as the standards activities matures and we can not have to start it up and establish it and test it and fund it, but we can be a part of the whole community keeping it going. Privacy and security, we started by fostering the states. They've got that activity underway. We need to be working at the federal level. We'll be working with a variety of stakeholders and reaching out in that area and moving it forward. And the coordination is different for each one of these stages. So our challenge in the office is, how do we communicate our new role when it's constantly changing, rather than what people think, which is, I've established the office, it should look next year the way it did last year.
So Rob, you've had a very successful vocation within medicine and as a public servant. What advice might you give a person who's thinking about a career either in the medical field or perhaps as a public servant or ideally as both?
Well, I've really enjoyed my time both as a physician and giving care, and then the opportunity to be an administrator and helping the system to give better care. And I very much recommend it to others who find that they would like something exciting, something that's changing. What I'm doing today is unlike anything I ever would have anticipated having the opportunity to do. And I would encourage the people wholeheartedly to pursue it vigorously.
That's great. That's fantastic advice. Unfortunately, we have reached the end of our time, and that'll have to be our last question. I want to thank you for fitting us into your busy schedule. But more importantly, Tom and I would like to thank you for your dedicated service to our country, both at the VA and now at HHS.
Well, and if anyone would like further information, if you go to our website at www.hhs.gov/healthit, you can find the activities that we're doing, that we're fostering, and the collaborations that we're moving forward.
Great. Thank you. This has been the Business of Government Hour, featuring a conversation with Dr. Robert Kolodner, National Coordinator, Health Information Technology within the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. My co-host has been Tom Romeo, IBM's General Government Industry Leader. As you enjoy the rest of your day, please take time to remember the men and women of our armed and civil services abroad who may not be able to hear this morning's show on how we're improving their government, but who deserve our unconditional respect and support. For the Business of Government Hour, I'm Albert Morales. Thank you for listening.
This has been the Business of Government Hour. Be sure to join us every Saturday at 9 a.m. and visit us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. There you can learn more about our programs and get a transcript of today's conversation. Until next week, it's businessofgovernment.org.